Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening, this is Worldwide Wave. We're with you're here with Carlos and Matt. And tonight we're going to be talking about natural disasters and revisiting the problem of what LGBTI people do and how they are affected by natural disasters.
So this can be anything from a tsunami, floods, bushfires and cyclones, take your pick. And pleasingly, Australia has taken a lead in this area. But things become a great deal harder when you start a conversation across the entire Asia-Pacific region, as happened last week in Bangkok. Are large humanitarian organisations open to changing their disaster response strategies in order to be more inclusive?
How do you negotiate accessing help in countries where homosexuality is still illegal?
And what was Australia's role in bringing together this regional discussion? Exploring resilience in the Asia-Pacific LGBTI community. Tonight, we are joined by Ryan Figueredo, the Deputy Director of APCOM, who are based in Bangkok. We'd love your messages throughout the show, 0427JOY949 and on air at joy.org.au. We're going to kick off with our worldwide wrap now. So starting with some good news, in India, India's biggest psychiatric body has declared homosexuality is not an illness. A little bit late to the party, but that's okay. This is a step ahead. The Indian Psychiatric Society declared that it should not be treated as an illness. This is the largest body of mental health professionals in India. And it was set up after they set up a task force in 2016 to examine the specific emotional needs of LGBTI people. Now, India, of course, still has Section 377, the old English sodomy laws, where homosexual sex is criminalised under the penal code. LGBTI advocates are hopeful that this new policy will help strengthen their case to end decriminalisation.
It's hard to think it in a country of such a large population that there hasn't been a change already in regard to the penal code. But Indian politics is quite a complicated space, and there's so many different competing systems of politics out there, including caste systems and such as well. So it's no surprise that we're further down the list of priorities. Now, in Italy, a villa seized from the mafia will become an LGBT shelter.
I'm loving this one.
Yeah, this is this sounds like a dream. It almost sounds like a video game that, you know, like Grand Theft Auto or something like that. But so the villa in Naples is going to be offered to LGBT Italians and LGBT migrants fleeing persecution from their home countries. I hope it comes with the Ferrari that was left with it as well. A mayor of the town says that planning permission has been won by gay rights group to turn it into a three-story building. So, wow, they're expanding on it as well, which was formerly owned by a mafia boss. Now it's going to become an LGBT hub for many folks in the community and internationally as well.
This is the first time a mafia property, a seized property, has been given for LGBT purposes, which is really quite quite fantastic.
Yeah, I wonder what instigated this change. And it's you know, I would love to see. Fortunately, the mafia is not a problem here in Australia. But if there was any seized property, I'd love to see that coming the LGBT or coming Joy's way at least. I know there's a few places out there that Joy would love to be a part of. Now, according to Rain Castetta, the LGBT rights group which will run the centre It is the first time that property seized from the mafia has ever been given to LGBT people, and, you know, arguably statement could be made globally. Currently, the closest LGBT shelter is over 125 miles away in Rome, strangely enough. Gay couples were legally recognised in 2016, but attitudes towards same-sex couples are among the most conservative in Europe, according to international surveys.
Indeed, the Minister for Families spoke out last week and said that gay families don't exist. So this is the kind of environment they're dealing with. Still, 500,000 people turned up to the Rainbow Brigade Rome Pride over the weekend as well.
Nothing to sneeze at.
And in a little follow-up from last week, a Republican nominee in the US who, remember, she's the one who live-streamed herself harassing a trans woman in a bathroom?
Right.
She was put to the vote and lost spectacularly. She didn't just lose, she was thrashed. So
that's
she
brilliant.
Gained only 10% of the vote in the primaries in the Californian 44th district. The winner got 66% of the vote. So if that's not karma,
I hope someone was live streaming her her speech to conceding defeat.
In brief, China has held the first ever LGBTI choir concert as part of celebrations of the 10th Shanghai Pride. The Japanese government has announced that it will now subsidise gender-affirming surgery for some trans people.
In Poland, Warsaw has created an unbreakable rainbow pride display after previous monuments were vandalised. And in Sydney, convicts have won the Bingham Cup gay rugby tournament, while four women's tennis teams competed for the first time.
And that is a wrap.
Get your lyric book out and your dancing shoes polished. The Melbourne Gay and Lesbian Chorus with Shout Youth Chorus are bringing your pop dreams to life. Boys to Girls, the best of boy bands and girl groups, brings the Spice Girls, Destiny's Child, Hanson and more to life for an uplifting chorus of nostalgia and fun. 3pm and 7pm, Saturday, June 16 at the Alex Theatre in St Kilda, and 2pm, Saturday, June 23 in Castlemaine. Book now, mglc.org.au. A community message.
Did you know only 0.4% of our 396,000 monthly Joy listeners support us financially, Matt?
I'd heard that and I think it's outrageous.
That is. And if you love what we do, please show us your support. This Radiothon, this year is a new way to show your love. Grab a Joy Passionate Supporters pack.
Complete you can with pash us.
You can pash us. We'll have a pash rash all over us if everyone joins Joy.
That's just from the drag queens.
That's just from the drag queens. Now, I can't wait to see you all jump on board and grab a 25-year commemorative pin and T-shirt and bumper sticker. And but hurry, there's only 250 tees available, and I think that there's quite a few less than that available right now. So you'll have to be quick. Head to
Where
Joy.
Can they pash us?
They can pash us here, there, anywhere.
Joy.org.au.
Joy.org.au on the Facebook and on the Instagram. You can also find links to join Joy, 25 years proud.
Hola, mi nombre es Felix de Colombia. You are on World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
that was Ricky Martin with A Cup of Life, getting into the World Cup spirit. Obviously, we're an intercontinental and international show, so we're looking forward to the World Cup here.
We were shaking in the studio.
We certainly were wiggling our bits
a la Ricky. We haven't heard much from him. I wonder what he's doing. I mean, he's settled, very much the family man.
Yeah, he's a family man now, I guess.
He's two kids and... They're all cuties anyway.
Yeah, they'll all take after his father, of course.
Now we have messages coming in. 317 has sent us a link to a story. Great to see the Greek Parliament light up for Athens Pride, which is fantastic. Pride season is such a... I mean, there's just so many things happening around the world in Pride events. And it's kind of an opportunity for people... Not dissimilar to our same-sex marriage debate last year, but for people who don't normally, I guess, show their true colours to light up as they have done in the Greek Parliament, which
is great. Where's your personal favourite location to celebrate Pride, Matt? Outside of Australia, of course.
Jeez.
Don't
know. Haven't been to enough yet, I think.
They're haven't been to enough. You've been to more than anybody else in Joy.
They're all very different, though. Like, the Hong Kong Pride is such it is a street march. It is still in that protest stage, whereas you get to others which are more the party.
And very sophisticated, very sponsored by corporations.
Yeah, well, then you get
you've
to
got
the
both
corporate
extremes.
That always gets at people's
Hong
views.
Hong Kong sounds great.
Richard from Adelaide has messaged in. He's queuing up here, there and everywhere for a pash. Am I limited to only one? Well... Depends on how many memberships you take
That's
out, Richard,
right.
And which you can do at joy.org.au.
You can even take one out for your dog as well. So if your dog's keen on becoming a Joy member, we'll even let them give us a kiss as well.
They can be part of the family membership, perhaps.
That's right, yeah. And there's even if you get a small enough T-shirt, it might fit your dog. Now, tonight on Joy, in our first interview, we're going to be hearing from Ryan. Now, tell us a little bit about Ryan, Matt.
So, last week, over 100 LGBTIQ activists from 20 countries came together in Bangkok to discuss the issues and strategies for post-disaster response that are inclusive of LGBTI people. Ryan Figueiredo, he's the deputy director of APCOM, which was the host organisation. We spoke to him earlier this evening and asked him how the conference came about.
APCOM is a regional organisation that has long advocated for the health and rights of sexual and diverse minorities. And we began with an online survey on LGBTI and sexual and gender-based violence in Asia and the Pacific. The results which we presented at the International Gay and Lesbian Association Conference in Cambodia last year in December. And we've been in conversation with a couple of other organizations to see how we could synergize the work around LGBTI in humanitarian settings. And UN Women and the International Planned Parenthood Federation came up with a concept to do a kind of a consultation to see how we could include LGBTIQ voices in the humanitarian system. And we then began adding a couple of other partners, including the Asia Pacific Transgender Network, the ASEAN Soji Caucus, and Edge Effect. From December last year, leading up to the conference, we were trying to find out ways of how we could, number one, include the voices of LGBTI persons in these settings, and number two is how could we make the humanitarian system much more inclusive. Everyone knows that UN Women kind of manage the gender cluster in the humanitarian system, but we wanted to kind of look beyond the binary in that gender discourse, and how do we kind of include persons of diverse sexual orientation and gender identity.
The humanitarian system that you're talking about is typically around, or quite often around, disaster response. Currently, the guidelines in these situations have pretty much no mention at all of LGBTI people or issues. So is it something that the lead international organisations are open to changing?
Yes, I think there is an underlying intention to leave no one behind. And if you had to unpack that in the humanitarian conversation, it would have to include, you know, LGBTI persons. And I think that's where they're coming from. The gender conversation is too limited to the binary, and therefore there was a need to kind of also look at where the blind spots in the data is. So there is anecdotal evidence, and some agencies, including IRIN, have spoken about stories of, you know, say transgender women during the tsunami or during the Nepal earthquake, and their experiences of engaging with humanitarian actors. And so it was really bringing together those, I think, discrete voices and trying to have a larger regional conversation of what happens to our communities in these events, both man-made as well as natural. And clearly there were unaddressed issues of how humanitarian actors engaged with communities. And when we see communities, it's inclusive of all gender identities and all expressions.
That's Ryan Figueredo. He's the Deputy Director of APCOM, which is an organisation based in Thailand but servicing the Asia-Pacific region. Coming up, we find out how the thorny issues of criminalisation of sexual relations and the role of religion impact disaster response. This is Worldwide Wave. because I'm free. Free to be you, free to be anybody. That's what the Pride season, which is going on all around the world, is all about. Christine, are new there.
So is that, isn't to say that, you know, you're cheap, Matt? If you're free?
Yeah. Some people might say that, but no, I'll just stick with free. It must be a pick on Matt night tonight because Richard suggests that I've been known to kiss a few dogs over the years.
Oh,
that's terrible.
Unless they're cute dogs.
Well, that's true. I hadn't thought about that. Message in on 0427 Joy 949 from 317. The Greece is, especially the Greek islands, have always been gay friendly. Well, that's probably because there's a big party town for all the drunk poms that go down there.
Well, there's the island Lesbos, isn't there?
The world, yes, there is. Mm. Yes, their government has become much more progressive than our Conservative Parliament in changing laws for the LGBT community. Fun fact, getting into the spirit there, 317. Thank you very much. We're talking all things disasters tonight, disaster response, and the LGBT community and its inclusion. Australia has actually been a leader in the area of inclusion after disasters. But opening up these ideas to a broad regional audience is not without risks. We asked our guest Ryan Figredo from APCOM how the conference saw the challenge of countries that still criminalise same-sex relations.
This is Dr. Sean Cole from London College of Fashion. Some things go out of style, but World Wide Wave never does. You're on Joy 94.9.
And we're just grabbing that interview. It has slipped around a bit. Of course, there's lots of ways for you to message and interact with us, not just on SMS and on the phone. Our Facebook page, we post stories from all around the world throughout the week, and you can just like us on Facebook and we will send all those to you. We've got our story from Ryan right now.
That will continue being a challenge in these complex settings. And one of the outcome of this consultation was we want our issues to be understood. And how do you collect strategic information about communities without putting them at risk, given that they are also sometimes located in geographies that criminalize, say, same-sex relationships or criminalize behaviors? So that was, of course, a part of that discussion. And while there was no clear outcome from that discussion, it is really something that we need to keep at the back of our minds as we collect information about the communities and also to respond to their specific needs. For instance, it's really critical that we have information about transgendered persons. And in certain countries, those communities are criminalized. But how do we then respond to their specific needs for healthcare, for shelter, and are sensitive to that? I think while humanitarian settings or events are complex, they also provide us an opportunity because the frontline workers are these humanitarian actors, and because they have the freedom to kind of respond sensitive to these communities, they also are best placed to be sensitive to their needs.
Another challenge quite often in post-disasters is that many of the humanitarian organisations have a religious basis to them. Was that discussed at all at the conference?
Not as much as we would have liked. We would have liked more faith-based leaders to be present at the conference. We do know that there are agencies that are faith-based, and you know, as we kind of prepare for the next level of engagement post consultation, we really want to be able to bring those actors into conversation as well, and that's something that we will definitely address in our next iteration of this consultation.
Now, Australia has played a role to some degree in this conference. Tell us a bit about the role Australia had.
For this particular consultation, we have enjoyed the generosity of the Australian government to fund participation, especially from the Pacific and from other places where there has been no funding. So we are really grateful to DFAT for supporting the participation. I think DFAT is also very interested in inclusion, and this was reflected by the fact that we had some DFAT representation at the consultation as well. You know, the Australian ambassador here in Bangkok also has been really supportive of our work, and he hosted a reception for communities and encouraged them to continue to do the work that, you know, they were doing within their communities.
from the things that you've been saying, I get a sense that this conference is more a starting point, that there's, you're just starting this discussion. What are the next steps? Where does it go from here?
I think one of the big things of this consultation in terms of outcomes is our call to action. And the call to action kind of highlights where we are at now in terms of LGBTI inclusion in the system. And we're making a couple of assertions. The first assertion that we're making in the call to action is that there is leadership within the LGBTI community. So it's an inward call as well to recognize that our communities are also affected by humanitarian events, and we need to be able to be more responsive to our communities on the ground, but also saying to the external world that there is knowledge. Even though there has not been inclusion from the humanitarian setting perspective, our communities have been responding to informal channels to crises. We need to recognize that there are informal networks, there are informal ways of responding to disasters, and we need to tap into those informal mechanisms. I think what we're also saying is that we need to kind of work across the LGBTI spectrum, and then there needs to be more intersectionality. We need to be talking to more women's groups, and we need to be working together as a collective, even though we have very discrete needs. What we're also saying is that we need to be understood. Like I said earlier, I think there need to be strategic information collected about this particular community or these communities, and it has to be programmed into the humanitarian system. We also recognize that LGBTI persons are disproportionately affected by sexual and gender-based violence. They're the most easiest targets when these events occur, and therefore we need to be protected. So it's a call to action to governments and to humanitarian actors as well. So yes, it is a starting point, but we hope that as a collective, we can call out to the humanitarian system and say that we need more inclusion, we need more programming, and we need more investment.
So much more to do. Ryan Figueredo, the Deputy Director of APCOM, speaking to us from Bangkok. Thanks for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you so much.
It's good that Australia is a leader in this, but I was sort of thinking, particularly those issues with religion, because a lot of the very conservative, the most conservative religions have fanned out to, Pacific Islands and the like. So I guess an Australian speaking at this conference would be viewing the world through their eyes, but it might be completely different if you're dealing with, a smaller Pacific Island, which has much more conservative values and a stronger religious influence, I guess.
That's right, and that's why I read this brilliant article the other day, and it was essentially talking about how people talk about different cultures and how perhaps we should reframe it as talking about different civilizations or different, using terms that sort of, more appropriately recognize that different countries are at very different stages of development when it comes to liberal policies and such. So it's really important that we, note that we're sometimes in a completely different decade or decades ahead of where another country might be, sometimes by quite a significant timeline away.
Pleasingly also that the federal government has supported this conference, and in fact they helped some of those countries in the Pacific to get to the conference, to have participation, to have their voice and their and to learn, I guess. It sort of harks back to President Obama's days where he used foreign policy to advance human rights around the world. So it's probably something I wasn't expecting as much from our government, but very happy that they have.
Absolutely, me too. Now, you're on Joy.
Did you know only 0.4% of our 396,000 monthly Joy listeners support us financially? If you love what we do, please show your support this radiothon. This year, there's a new way to show your love. Grab a Joy Passionate Supporters Pack, complete with our 25-year T-shirt, commemorative pin and our bumper sticker. But hurry, there's only 250 tees available. Head to joy.org.au and click the Passionate Supporter button now. Joy, 25 years proud.
Now, we were mentioning before that only 0.4% of our 396,000 monthly Joy listeners support us financially.
Tragic.
Now, which is absolutely tragic. But there's a new way for our allies to show their Joy love. So if you love us, this is how you do it. Become an Out Loud ally. You get the bragging rights and a pack of Joy Out Loud ally badges. Woo-hoo. To wear, which are spread around the studio. They're quite cute. You just simply head to joy.org.au and click the ally button on the homepage, or call us 1300-JOY-949. That's 1300-569-949. We thank you for supporting the voice of the LGBTI community.
And you can even get a family membership for $124. And if you've, and family is not, you know, your traditional definition. It could be
whatever definition you like.
Whatever definition you like. Two mums, two dads, four dads. It's entirely your construct. So please check what prices we have available on different membership options. Businesses too.
It's your Joy. We're 25 years proud.
The Melbourne Rainbow Band are excited to present their first feature concert for 2018. A journey through time and space. Buckle up and kick back as Australia's premier gay and lesbian community concert band play you iconic songs from around the universe, including sci-fi themes, space opera classics, and galactic sing-along hits.
One night only, Saturday, June 16th at MLC in Kew.
Learn more and book online. mrb.org.au. A community message supported by Joy.
Did you know only 0.4% of our 396,000 monthly Joy listeners support us financially? If you love what we do, please show your support this radiothon. Allies, there's a new way to show your love. Did you vote yes for marriage equality? Continue to show your support for the LGBTI community. Become an Out Loud ally of Joy. Receive bragging rights and a pack of Joy Out Loud ally badges to wear proudly. Head to joy.org.au and click the ally button on the homepage.
It's William calling from WeeWee Blogs, and you are listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9. Let's do this!
To the wind blow.
Fleetwood Mac, The Chain. It's a Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9. Messages coming in 317. I'd like to acknowledge the strong ally Anthony Bourdain was to our community. He was my favourite travel icon and cultural icon. Rest in peace. Yeah, I actually hadn't realised how supportive he was, and visibly he certainly used his profile to show his support and to stand up against discrimination in a number of high-profile cases. So thank you for that.
Globetrotter like yourself, Matter.
Much more than me. Also, messages on Facebook. So that story we were talking about before, the Italian Minister for Families saying that gay families don't exist. I have to edit some of these because people got really quite upset about this. Adam says, oh, for F's sake. Andrew just calls him a dick. And Chris says he's F'd.
Mm, that's a very good censorship.
Very simple, straight to the point. And it's also a bit of discussion about the New York Times video, which sort of featured the baker that won his case.
That was a terrible outcome by the courts. And there was a couple of dissenting judges. And I guess
it's a very narrow ruling, though.
Oh, absolutely. And this is why it was so important that, I guess, you know, after, on top of everything else that, you know, all other concerns for Trump, that having someone elected who would appoint a more progressive judge to the Supreme Court was so important for decisions such as these, where if the Supreme Court's stacked, then a lot of decisions like these might not go in favour of the LGBT community.
It's America's, yes, very interesting system. Joe says, why would you give your money to a bigot anyway? And Hoffler is warning that this type of discrimination is here in Australia. Be very afraid of the Americanisation of our politics. Interesting thoughts. Now, we've had a membership come through.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much, David from Rosanna, who has taken out a membership and tacked on a donation as well. And I can't tell you, that is just amazing. That really does make a big difference. And it's what Radiothon is all about. It's about our people. One of the people, we thought we looked back at some of our stories, and last week, our huge Radiothon show, we couldn't fit everything on, but we found this little gem, which was from one of the very first hosts of Worldwide Waves, speaking about the very first show, which was almost 7 years ago and about 150 countries ago. This is our original team presenter, Squirrel Main, speaking about a Worldwide Waves first show.
On a dark Melbourne night, and Tom and I have just finished the previous week A Taste of Radio course. Now, Tom, myself, and Hikaru, also known as AJ, pretty much begged them for a spot, any spot, and we were granted the graveyard shift. I had this idea we could do an international news show, and Hikaru got excited because he had all kinds of journalism connections. Tom worked nearby and was really keen to get involved, so it was a goer. We decided our first show was going to be about Greece. So at 10:55, Tom and I are still outside the studio, wondering, where is AJ? Where is he? He's the one that had all the music. He's the one with all the contacts. Where is he? He was the experienced journalist who kept reassuring us, it'll be fine. So 11 o'clock ticks around and we play the intro, which was at the time different. And during the intro, we looked at each other and thought, oh my goodness, we need to do something. We've said we've gonna do Greece, so we might as well type Greece in the Joy Cat quickly. And yes, Summer Lovin' from Greece the Musical. I'm afraid that was our first song. And I remember distinctly a couple songs into it, we started relaxing a bit and just looked up some facts about Greece. And that's actually the genesis of Fun Facts Facts. But yeah, we just kept going, where is he? He hasn't texted us. He hasn't emailed. Is he dead? If he's not dead, then I'm going to kill him, I said once. And then I then felt really guilty about it because I found out later on the week that he had actually gone into a coma and gone in the hospital. It was a brief coma, just lost consciousness for a bit. But yeah, he actually did have a legitimate excuse for not being there. But all I remember is Tom and I just looking at each other going, we just have to get through this hour. We just have to get through this hour. And then we'd play another song. We'd say, okay, we just have to get through this hour. And And as we walked out, we got through the hour, and it was just these haggard expressions of, oh no, if anybody's been listening, all our plans, all our interviews, we had general consulates lined up and MPs, but we just needed to have gotten through the hour. And that's pretty much what the first show was like. It's pretty awkward, Matt, actually, remembering it now and looking at how, like, we've come so far. We've got, you know, a Facebook page with 800 likes, and we've got programs, and, you know, there's multiple people working behind the scenes on interviews and music. And I apologize that I don't always write into you. I am often listening. I just have my hands full with the two-year-old. But how far we've come since that first Grease episode where one of us was in the hospital and two of us were running around playing Summer Lovin'. It gets better. It's been absolutely fantastic. And what you guys are doing with it now, also fantastic. Glad to be part of it.
Kia ora, my name is Tatriana, and I'm from the Cook Islands LGBT organization, BTLA Association, on the World Wide Web.
A big thank you to our guest tonight, Ryan Figueredo, the Deputy Director of APCOM. You can find out more about their work at apcom.org. And a big thank you to David from Rosanna for joining up. Coming up, we've got a special edition of Word for Word with Boy George right here on Joy 94.9. We'll catch you next week on World Wide Web.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.